former coach of the Sacramento Kings and author of Furious George, My 40 Years Surviving NBA Divas, Coolest GMs, and Poor Shot Selection. George Karl joins us now. The book is in stores now. George, I know you've been doing a ton of interviews and TV shows regarding this book, and I know you've spent a lot of time talking about the reaction to the book more than what's actually in the book. Do you think that has a lot to do with the title and how kind of negative the title alone is?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit, because I think if you read the book from the first chapter to the last chapter, it's a more of a positive journey of my celebration of my time in coaching. And the combination of the title, the cover, and the excerpts, I think, stirred up this firestorm that will calm down in time, and the book will stand on its own 2 feet.
So were you surprised? You know, initially excerpts get sent out, and right away, some of your past players, whether it was Carmelo, Kenyon Martin, they had strong reactions. One, I guess, have you had a chance to talk to them since? And two, were you surprised by their reactions?
I have not talked to them, but I think when the emotions dies down and a situation would present itself, I wouldn't be against talking to them. And I think I've said that I expressed the fatherhood situation with one parent. One parent raising a child was, I did it poorly. I did it quickly, and it's something that deserved more detail and at least more of my elaborating on what I was trying to say.
Coach, I want to get to more current events. Why did you take the job in Sacramento? Why did you come here?
That's pretty simple. I love the gym and I love the coach.
Anything particular about this particular, like, team that you saw? You saw something that you could work with? What was the draw?
I saw talent, you know, that had talented pieces that, you know, I thought it could, you know, come together. And Pete D'Alessandro was the GM, and I thought we could be a team that could turn it around.
Do George Karl, with this author of Furious George, George, do players play harder for a coach that they like?
I'm going to apologize for my dog's barking.
That's all right. That's all right. What kind of dogs do you have, George?
I've never thought it as a high priority that being liked by your player is important. But in the same sense, I think players that like you probably might give you a little bit more when it matters in a big, big-time game. And but I still think that cannot be a priority. I think coaches want to be liked. They want to be respected, but more than anything, they want to do their job.
Do you feel like your players liked you?
Oh, I have a lot of great relationships with players. You know, I mean, you know, I have lifetime friends that were players and now turned into coaches, and now we're friends as coaches. And I have guys that have never thought about going into coaching, and they're living in Walla Walla, Washington, and hanging out and having fun when I come through.
So, in your mind, George, do you think you'll do this again? Will you have another opportunity to be a coach in the NBA?
You know, if you asked that today, I'd say yes. But, you know, I can't deny it. There's an up-and-down mentality to, you know, do I want to do it again? I think if the right partner came along and the right team with the right challenge, I would probably do it again, yeah.
Coach, what is more difficult? Is it teaching players the X's and O's, or is it handling the egos? Which is more difficult for coaches, especially at this level of the NBA?
I think getting a commitment to the culture of getting better and the culture of you know, what they had. You know, I think the big thing as a coach, you want to have a committed situation where what you want done, they want to do too. And the challenges of basketball constantly change. Over a season, you have your good moments, you have your tough moments. And I said, you want that commitment to be strong enough to get through the whole 82 games of the season, because that's what it is. Because not many, there's only 5 or 6 teams that can dominate a season. The other 24 teams are trying to find that special moment or that special run that you put together in the middle of the year by keeping strong and believing and going forward.
George Karl with us on the lowdown. What's the biggest difference between coaching? I mean, you coached a year ago. What's the difference, biggest difference between a year ago and when you started, you know, 30-something years ago?
Oh, man. The plate, you know, the plate for the coach in 1980 was big, but it wasn't that big. Now we have a buffet, you know, and there's just so many more things that coaches are now responsible for from the standpoint of, you know, conditioning, travel, nutrition, there's so much that the plate has grown. The game has gotten bigger. The business end of the game has gotten more influential. The being on TV every night, you know, in 1980, the finals might not have been on TV, but I mean, it's exploded so in such a good way. But in the same sense, you know, the coach involved in the situation, there are difficult times.
You know, Coach, something we talk about a lot here in Sacramento is DeMarcus Cousins. And obviously, people will throw out the blanket statement, he is the best big man in the NBA. You've coached him, but you've also seen the entirety of the league. In your opinion, is DeMarcus Cousins the best big man in the league?
He's no question the most skilled big man. I mean, he's having a great year. I mean, he's really, really playing at a high, high level. High, most efficient I've ever seen him play. Seems to be the most responsible I've ever seen him play. So, yes, I mean, the big man, the thing in the game today is, where does the big man fit? You know, does the big man, it used to be a necessity to win a championship, you had to have a big man. A lot of coaches, and maybe I would be in that category, that it might be the point guard more important than the big man now. So, or having one of the top five players in the game of basketball on your team. I think all those things, the philosophy of what wins, what creates winning. I think the big man is, you could have a controversial clinic on where is the big man going in the NBA.
Coach, you know, we're talking a lot about this particular thing here in Sacramento, and it's arguing with the referees. Players are doing it a lot, especially on this team. And, of course, you had your run-ins with the officials during your career, and you talk about that quite a few times in the book. Number one, does it ever help to argue with the officials? And number two, how do we get players to stop doing it so much?
I think it helps once in a while. There are certain situations that might come up, or a young official or a weak official looks like he's having trouble, that you might be able to get after a little bit. But in general, I think it works against you. I think in general, chirping at referees in time wears out their patience with you. They're human beings. But in the same sense, it's always going to chatter. Chatter is always going to be a part of refereeing, and they know that, and I think they're doing a better job of understanding that. And I think we all complain about the referees, but they're the best referees in the world by far, and people should know that also.
And Coach, from your perspective, when you're on the sideline, do you feel like it's your job or the coach's job to kind of take the brunt of that so that the players do not engage as much as they are?
Again, I would prefer conversations be under control. And yes, there are times where the coach should stand up for his players when the game is going the wrong way. But in general, I think teams that can handle refereeing, can handle a poorly refereed game, is usually a sign of a really mentally tough team.
Furious George, my 40 years surviving NBA Divas, Clueless GMs, and poor shot selection. It's in stores now. George Karl with us on the lowdown. Who's the biggest diva that you dealt with in the NBA?
You know, I've asked that question a couple times. Probably the guy that I knew from the very beginning I was going to have trouble with was Joe Barry Carroll.
Wow.
When I coached in Golden State. Mm-hmm. And even though, you know, again, he made the All-Star team that year. The only time I think he made the All-Star team. And we had some success. We made the playoffs and won in the first round. But I think he was the guy that I knew that he and I have no chance of coming to a common ground or connection.
And what was so difficult in dealing with him?
enigmatic.
He's very, a very bright man. He kind of just didn't have a passion for the game of basketball. And he did many things that would just drive me crazy.
You know, George, obviously we've said to our listeners, too, that there's certain things that aren't in the book about your 100-plus games in Sacramento contractually there. But will there ever be, I don't know, an addition to this book, a different book? I know a lot of Kings fans are curious about your time here. Any thoughts on putting something on paper later on about your time in Sacramento?
That's to be determined. I'm looking for a new adventure, but that would not be one high on my priority list. I'd rather find some other adventure in basketball. But, you know, I'm open to anything. You know, the world is changing. The game is great. And I've been blessed by the game of basketball, and I'm going to celebrate that.
Coach, do you feel like the colleges are kind of ruining these players before they get to the pro level? And if so, have you considered going to the collegiate level and straightening that stuff out?
I've actually spent a lot of time with some college coaches this fall and this winter. I'm deep down inside, I think I'm a pro coach and not a college guy. But again, if the right partner came into it and it sounded good and it made my life, you know, I think I could have a great run somewhere. I would not say no to anything.
What kind of dogs do you have, George?
Sound big.
Labradors, black labs.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. There you go. And do they have cool names like rebound and defense or something?
One's named Rookie.
Of course.
And one's named Cody.
Okay, so the question is...
You yell at the rookie
exactly.
All the time, right? You yell at the rookie dog all the time?
Yeah, I do.
Of course you
Furious
do.
Furious George, my 40 years surviving NBA Divas, coolest GMs, and poor shot selection. Good luck with the book, George. We appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Absolutely.
Enjoy. Thanks, Coach.
George Carl.
Rookie.
You knew they were going to have some sort of basket. And Kobe, I think, is his son's name, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So
correct.
There you go.